accident. Door line, one big thing. Traffic moving like this, like a snail.
You want to tap it or block it?
Yes?
You want to tap it, block it?
Do I grab what a jari thi inshallah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله كما ينبغي لجلاله والحمد لله كما ينبغي لكريم وجهه والحمد لله كما ينبغي لعظيم سلطانه والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأهل بيته أجمعين أما بعد That distance is a bit too much if we get close. This way on the other side. That is still far too distant apart. Respect for Salat, boys, it's missing, especially from this class, from Ahlul Quran class. And I swear by Allah, there is no exaggeration. I've got Monday class, who will be there for full Maghrib Salat. Many of them will come even well before. Tuesday class as well, wallahi, very sincere men. On Tuesday they will be there early, but at least they will all get their Maghrib Salat with Jamaat. Number of them will come well before. And then hear me out. Ejaz, I've got the sixth form class, who are college and university students. I swear by Allah, I've got Quran in front of me. All right. They are doing better than you for that day in Salat. In other words, they will get proper full Maghrib Salat. And I see you guys who are Ahlul Quran, you've got Quran in your heart. Maghrib, you've got your class day today. You've got your class. Let alone coming well before. What is this Durood Sharif and Duas and everything just for general public? Not for me and you? Salat is for others. We've already collected this guarantee from an insurance of Jannah from Allah. We've already covered. I think, Ejaz, you've got super cover. Comprehensive. You think I want to see you there? And wallahi, it makes saddens me. I turned around after Maghrib Salat. Hardly any of you were there from the beginning of Maghrib Salat. Hardly any of you from the beginning of Maghrib Salat. Look at these boys. They're not Hafiz. Ji, but they were here well before. For every Salat, they are here well on time. What is it with ourselves? Who do we think we are? Don't you think that we should have at least that importance for Salat? And Salat is Maghrib. Who comes late for Maghrib? You know, I've lived all my life. Maghrib is such an important Salat that nobody gets late for Maghrib. Understandable for Zuhur, Fajr, Zuhur, Asr, Isha, that's all understandable. Generally, I've not seen people being late in Maghrib Salat. Compared to other Salat, you will see less people missing Maghrib, right, missing Salat, missing Rakats than any other Salat. Maghrib is not a Salat that you can easily just miss Rakats or even miss the Salat. We are very good at all other activities, recreational, social. Ji, how often we get together for football and we're all there on time and we're all there. Hardly you'll see anybody that will say, I'm coming, and then he won't turn up. Everybody looking forward to it. Look at the state of Salat. And the reality is our deen is dependent. In this day and age, there's only one thing we are hanging on to. That is what? Salat. Jihad is out of the window. Gee? For you young people like yourselves who have been either should have been in jihad, we're not. Should have been in khanqa, okay? Under a certain sheikh, okay? We're not there. Do you understand? We should have been in tabligh, jamaat. Right, half-term holiday, you'll see all these guys are in Jamaat, okay? We should have been part of that. No. We should have been part of Darul Uloom, becoming Alim. But you go and you come back. Gee? So we're not there as well. Now you've got just hanging on to this 5 daily Salat. We already know the situation of Fajr. We already know the situation of other Salats. Now there is what? Maghrib Salat on this class day. And then there are those who have only come after Sunnats and everybody has read, and then they have come and they've read. Right or wrong, Ajaz? How sad is that, Ajaz? When one Sahabi who is an attendant of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so he alayhi salam is very pleased with him. So he says that, what do you wish? He alayhi salam says, what do you wish? What is your wish? I'll ask Allah for your wish to be granted. So he said, O Prophet of Allah, I want your company in Jannah. That's my dream, that's my wish, ultimate desire. So do you know what he said? He said, okay, you'll get it, and you're there. He said, A'inni bi kathrati sujood, aw kama qala an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay, fine, but help me by lots of salat. It's not just like, okay, I'll make dua and you'll be there. You've got to adopt the asbab, the means. Because Allah has got some system as well. There should be justification. So in order for you to justify your entry into Jannah with me in my company, then you need to have an evidence and justification. And he said, justification is what? Salat. Jamaat is being missed for all these little small reasons. Oh, I had to do this. I had to do this for my car. I had to do this for my wife. I had to do this for my children. I had to do this. My friend called me. Oh, I had to be there. I had to do this. How valid reasons are there? You can be, if you are just blindly going to fall for all these excuses, you'll never be able to read any salat because there's always something coming up. And this is shaitan who's bringing up all this. There was a time when we used to arrange a two-day Jamaat, Ikram, right or wrong. And we used to go out from here. All 20, 30 of us will be in Jamaat. Awesome. True. But now, what sort of Jamaat are we having for 2 days? Derbyshire Cottage. Fine, not a bad idea. If I was invited, I would have attended Katana. You know that? Yes, I would have definitely. But who wants to take me? Nobody. Ikram. See? See, there you are. Me and you. You went to Egypt by yourself as well. You would rather take Ejaz. Yes, you decided to take Ejaz. So, well, Kalu. Yeah. What did you ask me? Where I was busy. Wallahi, seriously, boys, on a serious note, right? Because out of respect for you guys, because now you've grown up. And I don't feel like, I don't want to be treating you like a child. I want to treat you with respect. That now, mashallah, either you're married, or you're already 23, 24, 25. Okay, so I want to show you that respect. You don't want to be treated like that and being pushed around, do this and do that and do this. And you know that I have left that for a long time. But look at the detrimental effect. Look at the detrimental effect. And I'm very much concerned, boys. I'm very much concerned. You've left your Quran, right? Okay, you're just about hanging on to whatever you know from before. And then, alhamdulillah, because your teachers have worked hard, and the system made you work hard, so you know your Quran, so you just about manage it and scrape it through in Ramadan, wherever you are reading. But is that the standard? Is that the whole point? Is that the purpose? Reality and the love for Quran and the reality of Deen. Quran is a means of connection with Allah. Everything is about Allah, being connected with Him. And there was no better thing, because you don't have a sheikh generally. And even the ones who have sheikh, they're not here. So you don't have sheikh, you don't have anything. The only thing you have is this Quran, which is a big, big treasure. Even if you just stick to this, wallahi, you'll manage. But you've got to pay the rights of this. Is it just about tune? Is it just about pronunciation? Get into salat. Who's into Fajr Salat in the Masjid with Jamaat? Abu Bakr. Masjid mein padhte ho namaz? From tomorrow. This is the only answer I always get, Aiman. Just be honest. Abdul Karim? Abbas? No intention as well, Abbas? And once you get married, it's only going to get worse, isn't it? Ikram? Now, here we are, not half is, but yes, he is. Umar, Ajaz, you too? Really? Where? With Jamaat. Dekho. Suna Tariq? Dekha apne the fark? See the difference what I'm talking? Wallahi, you've got a big issue. You guys who are Hafiz. These two, look at them. Are they Hafiz? No. How old are they? It's not that they're too old than you, they're so fine, they become mature like Maqsood and fine, so they're into the system. Or they're too young and naive, so they don't know and they just wake up in the morning because they don't, they're not mature enough, they don't have understanding. Just as old as yourselves. Next. If Hassan was here, would have sorted you out with that answer. So, mashallah, I'm happy Rashid has started after Ramadan. He's there for Fajr Namaz with Jamaat. Tariq?
Maulana
Sahab. Baba Sahab.
When I wake up, what to Jamaat ka time chala jata hai.
Masjid mein so. Masjid mein so. Wallahi. Salat is such an important ibadat with Jamaat, right? Getting it. If you don't get it, then even if you have to sleep in the masjid, it's justifiable. And especially with you bachelors, what's wrong? It's not that you've got extended family that you need to look after wife and children and so on. You can't leave them behind by yourself, themselves. See? You're a bachelor, so you can make it. You're fine. So what? You can sleep anywhere. Take this matter very serious, Salat. And do it for the right reason. And again, I'll tell you another difference. And it really pains me when I see this, right? I release Monday class, if it's Isha Namaz, then everybody will read their two Sunnat, Witr, and they'll go. Tuesday class finishes, everybody after Farz Ramaz will read Sunnat, Witr, and then go. Ji, I've got Thursday class. Wallahi, they also read Sunnat and Witr and then they go. Gee? If there is one class where majority of them, they go without Sunnat and Witr, is Ahlul Quran class, this study circle class. And majority of them will walk away, these Hafiz, they'll walk away without Sunnat. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. May Allah forgive us all. May Allah forgive us all. May Allah forgive us all. May He guide us. Give us nek tawfiq. Allow us all to respect our Quran that we have in our hearts. Last couple of weeks I have been discussing with you Salat times. And not only it's an interesting subject, but it's also an important subject. I have discussed with you the beginning time of Fajr, the final time of Fajr, and what is the preferred time of Fajr. I've discussed with you Zohar beginning, Zohar final, and the preferred time. I'm going to test you in a bit now on this. I've discussed with you beginning of Asr, final time of Asr, and the preferred and the makruh time. I've discussed with you beginning of Maghrib, final of Maghrib, and the preferred and the makruh time. And then in the last lesson, I was discussing with you beginning of Isha and the final time of Isha. And this is where we stopped. Let me finish off the subject before I give you the opportunity to share the answers with me or with ourselves on all five salat. Because if not Salat, at least you're very knowledgeable people. Isha Salat starts, as Hadith says, Idha ghaba shafaq, when shafaq hides. These are the words of Hadith. When shafaq means, when shafaq hides. Majority of the scholars, overwhelming majority of the scholars, refer to Shafaq as the reddish light that appears on the western horizon after the sun has set and has gone down. A band of red light appears on the horizon. When this red light disappears, then Maghrib finishes and Isha starts. And this red light is called Shafaq. So majority of the scholars refer Shafaq to the red light. And if not in this country, you will be very visibly be able to see this red light that appears on the horizon. In tropical countries, even sometimes, many times here in hot summer days as well. When this red majority of the scholars say Shafaq is this red light, is called Shafaq. And when that disappears, Maghrib time finishes and Isha time enters. Imam Abu Hanifa, with not many with him in their opinion, is of the opinion that he, when alayhi salam, when he says when Shafaq hides, Shafaq refers to not the red band of light, but it's the white band of light. When that disappears, this is when Maghrib expires and Isha starts. So when does the white light appear? Generally what happens, that you first, the red light appears after sunset, approximately an hour after sunset this disappears, approximately I'm saying an hour after sunset this red light will disappear, and then that is substituted with whitish light on that same side of the horizon. That remains for some time, maybe 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and then disappear. That disappears, and then the entire horizon is covered with darkness. Imam Abu Hanifa says that Shafaq refers to this white light. When that disappears, Maghrib time has ended, and Isha time has, Maghrib has ended, and Isha has entered. Evidence-wise, maybe the ones who are holding, majority of the scholars who are holding the opinion of reddish light to be the Shafaq, stands to be having more stronger evidence. So much so that even the immediate students of Imam Abu Hanifa, with all their, due to their sincerity, they are also with the rest of the other scholars and not with the with their own teacher, Imam Abu Hanifa. And the reason for Shafaq to be referred to the red light and not the white light, because generally in the Arab dictionarily, Shafaq refers to the reddish light and not the white light. So there is that controversy. Ke Isha ki namaz ka waqt shuru kab hota hai? Imam Abu Hanifa says, when this white light disappears and it's total dark in the sky, Isha time starts. Rest of the scholars, or majority of the scholars, are of the opinion when reddish light disappears, Isha time starts. In other words, in their opinion, Isha will start a little earlier. And with the opinion of Imam Abu Hanifa, Isha starts a little later. Question is, because you guys are mathematical and scientific minded, question is that we have been discussing this Subh-e Sadiq, the white light that appears on the horizon in the morning just before sunrise, after which the time of Fajr starts and Suhoor ends. Is there a specific angle Is there a specific angle that one would observe this white light on the horizon that marks a Subhi Sadiq? So ulamas, astronomers, they have been calculating that maybe that reflection of white light on the horizon is the reflection of the sun being at a particular angle away from sunrise. Maybe it happens at a specific angle. So ulamas and scholars have been debating on this issue, that what is this angle at which Subhi Sadiq starts. So there are many astronomers and many scholars are of the opinion that when the sun is 18 degrees away from rising. So if the rising is this point, the eastern point, then when the sun is 18 degrees away from there, so create an angle like this, when the sun is here. So when the sun is 18 degrees away from rising, the reflection of that sun before coming out gives reflection of this white light on the horizon. So many of them are of the opinion of 18 degrees. They say when the sun is at a depression of 18 degrees. In other words, the sun is still 18 degrees away from rising. Some astronomers and some scholars are of the opinion that no, this reflection of the light that has been described as Subhi Sadiq in the Islamic terminology, that takes place when the sun is about 15 degrees away from sunrise. In other words, later than 18 degrees. Because if sun is 18 degrees away, it means there is more time left before sunrise. And if it's 15 degrees away, it means that the time is less left before sunrise. So some astronomers and scholars are of the opinion that when the sun is 15 degrees away from rising, this is when Subhi Sadiq starts and Isha time ends. Some of the astronomers and scholars are the opinion that no, there is no set mathematical formula for Subhi Sadiq that is 18 degrees or 15. It all depends where you are located. It all depends on what sort of season. So it might be in a certain place, maybe 18 degrees. Maybe some part of the month it is 18 degrees for that location. But maybe for that location in other part of the year may not be the same. Or in other part of the country it may be different. So there is a big khichdi paki hai is bare mein. There is a lot of controversy and big debate on the issue. That is that a certain particular angle when the sun is away from rising that sun Subhi Sadiq appears. It's a debatable issue. This is why, especially in this country, right, there is a big debate about Fajr beginning time, and you'll see every masjid having their own, because it is a debatable issue, 15 or 18, or in between, or less, or more, and so on. At that point, Isha time expires, when Subhi Sadiq starts, when Fajr time starts, Isha ends. However, within Isha beginning time and Isha final time, beginning is when Shafaq ends. And again, Shafaq, depending on the opinion of different scholars, the red light or the white light, that's the beginning time. Final time is when Subhi Sadiq starts, when Fajr time starts, this is when Isha time expires. However, between that long time of many hours, there is an acceptable time, there is a preferred time, there is another acceptable time, and there is makruh time within that beginning and final time. What is the preferred time? The preferred time of Isha is to delay Isha up to about one third of the night has gone, approximately, just before one third night has left. In other words, you divide You count the hours from sunset to Fajr beginning time. To Fajr beginning time. Find out how many hours they are. Divide that into three. When one third has left, just before one third or at one third, this is the most preferred time of reading Isha. Not immediately as soon as the time enters, like Zuhur namaz, Asr namaz, like Fajr namaz. No. In Isha, the preferred time, in the opinion of majority of the scholars, is to delay Isha a little. A little means what? How late? You delay it until about one third, the first third of the night has gone. He alayhi salatu was salam, one day he came to the masjid very late, and people were waiting. And almost one third to half the night had already passed. One third of the night or half the night almost. In between one third and half the night had passed. But Sahaba are all waiting. Never would they imagine Salat being started without he alayhi salam coming and starting the Salat. So when he came, the hadith does not make it clear whether he said these words to them after Salat or before Salat, but he said, stay in your places. And he said, you have been waiting for this Salat, this Isha Salat. It's a Salat which no people in the past, before you, who belong to religions, they had waited for this Salat for as long as you have been waiting. In other words, in our deen, Isha Salat is the latest that any ummah has been given. And he said, if I did not have the fear that you guys would fall in any form of hardship, I would have delayed Isha Salat every day up to this time. But respecting your convenience and your comfort, I don't read it that late, out of respect for your convenience and comfort. But if it wasn't the issue about your discomfort and inconvenience, I would have surely led Isha Salat later, up to one third or half the night, between one third and half the night. So the preferred time of Isha, if there is no inconvenience to anybody, if there is no inconvenience and discomfort to the public, because Isha Salat is taking place very early anyway, it's not too late like winter time, it is better to delay Isha Salat up to about a third of the night has gone, provided there is no inconvenience. If there is inconvenience, then yes, earlier than that. So up to when the time enters until about one third, this is acceptable time. As soon as time has entered of Isha, this is acceptable time. Until when? About one third. Between one third and after one third, before one third and a little after one third, this is the kya hai? Balao? Preferred time. As soon as the time of Isha has entered, this is acceptable time. Until just before one third of the night has gone, from then until about one third or something like that, that is the preferred time. From after one third until midnight, this is again acceptable time. After midnight, now midnight, I'm not saying midnight means 12 o'clock, means you divide the night into half. After half the night is over, now to read Isha Salat is makruh. You should never delay it after that. Never. This time after half the night has gone until Subh-e Sadiq, this is called the emergency time. In other words, somebody was sleeping, now he's just woken up. Something like that. This is emergency time. Something urgent, an emergency, there was an emergency excuse and reason, then you delayed it, fine. Otherwise, You should not delay it after half the night is over. I will not use midnight, because generally midnight refers to 12 o'clock. So I will not use midnight. You should not delay it until after half the night is over. After half night is over until Subh-e Sadiq, this is known as time of urgency or emergency time. So as soon as time of Isha enters, until approximately one third of the night has gone, this is acceptable time. Like those people who read as soon as time has entered and they read Isha. Ji, like Maqsood. So this is acceptable time. Once the time has entered, so it's acceptable. To delay deliberately until one third approximately, that's the preferred time. Good. Then after that, until after, from there, one third to half the night, again acceptable time. And then from half the night is over until Subh-e Sadiq, makruh time. Undesirable. Yani, ye emergency time hai. Lekin isme namaz padhna makruh hai. So we'll say the time is emergency time. But the hukam of reading in that salat is makruh. Now that we are clear about every further salat, its beginning time, its final time, the preferred times, their makruh times, their acceptable times, we have discussed in great length. That is one issue now, which affects me, which affects you, which affects many countries who live in the northern hemisphere, those who live beyond this latitude of 48 degrees. So this is Europe, and then on top Iceland, then on top Greenland. If this affects all these countries. And what is that? That in many of these places, either for many months of the year, or some months of the year, these countries, they suffer a situation where they cannot tell the entry of Isha time or the entry of Fajr time. Why? Because the indications we have been given is got to do with the horizon, with the lights. And the lights cannot be, they are not distinctive because of the weather and everything. For example, during very peak summer days, there are two complications. You know those people who say that Fajr time starts or Isha time starts when the sun is 15 to 18 degrees away from rising. But the astronomical theory says that during these peak months, the sun is not as far as 18, 15 degrees before then it rises. It only goes up to certain degrees, it's away and it rises. So question is, if it's not 15 degrees, if it's not 18 degrees, right, then time has not entered. How do we distinguish the time? How can time be ascertained? If there is light all throughout the night, how can you distinguish the morning thread, the morning light from the darkness of the night? With such complications, and there are many countries involved in this, the northern countries, either for the whole year or for some part of the year, they have a big dilemma. For these countries, what is the solution? There are certain solutions given by ulamas and muftis. And unfortunately, they're all not unanimous. All different scholars, different mazahibs have given different solutions. These solutions are not directly from Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because they did not encounter this situation. They lived in very tropical, normal countries. This situation only took place when Islam started spreading all over the world from south to north. This is when the situation has come up. So what do? When this darkness doesn't appear in that at night and Isha, you can't tell whether Isha time has started. You can't see the red light disappearing. You can't see the white light disappearing. So how do we determine the beginning of Isha? And also, how do we determine the beginning of Fajr Salat when Subh-e Sadiq, the early dawn, cannot be witnessed because of the whiteness in the horizon all throughout the night? So there are some scholarly four opinions. And there are even more than four opinions. One opinion is, calculate how many hours they are from sunrise to sunset. How many hours they are from sunset to sunrise. How many hours they are from sunset to sunrise. So for example, these days sunset is 9:30. An example, sunrise is 4:30. So how many hours have been? 10, 11, 7. Exactly, that's a good example. 7 hours. One opinion says that divide these hours from sunset to sunrise, whatever number of hours they are, divide that into seven pieces. When the first 1/7 will be over, that determines the final time of Maghrib and entry of Isha. When 1/7 of the night is gone. When 1/7 of the night is gone. So in that way, after 1 hour, Isha time has started, in their opinion. If the night is of 7 hours. If the night is of more than 7 hours, then yes, of course, it will be a little more. Yes, always divide. Not just in this example, divide by 7. Okay, so the night could be about of 8 hours, still divided by 7. So divide the number of hours from sunset to sunrise into 7. When 1/7 of the night is over, that ascertains the beginning of Isha. And they say that 1/7 is left from sunrise, that determines the beginning of Fajr. And Suhoor ends until there. This is one opinion. So in other words, if sunrise is 4:30, then you are allowed to eat Suhoor until 3:30. So what's one opinion? One opinion is divide the whole night from sunset to sunrise into 7 parts. Once the first 1/7 of the night is over after sunset, that determines the beginning of Isha. And when 1/7 of the night is left, away from sunrise, that determines the beginning of Fajr and the final time of Suhoor. This is one opinion. If we are to practice this opinion, for Isha it's fine, after 1 hour everybody will enjoy it and you can't really tell much whether it's right or wrong. But if you follow this opinion for fasting, when there is only 1 hour left before sunrise, that is so light that you feel ashamed of eating at that time. And you will see there are some masjids who have Suhoor ending very late. And if you go by that timetable, you feel ashamed of eating at that time because it's pretty light. So it doesn't really, practically, when we look at that opinion, at Suhoor time, it doesn't seem right. But this opinion has been given as well. This is one opinion. Second, an opinion which is pretty logical. is, it's called Aqrabul Ayyam. Kya maksud? Aqrabul Ayyam. Kya matlab?
This is the nearest place.
Rashid? The closest days. Okay, the closest days. What does that mean, the closest days? In other words, look at the closest days when Isha was visible and Fajr was visible. When did this started happening where you can't see Maghrib and Isha and Fajr? Okay, for example, that is 15th May. When you cannot tell Isha and you cannot tell Fajr. Otherwise, until 15th May, it was visible. Then fine, look at the time on the 15th of May. That will indicate you, right, what time to ascertain for now this period, this complicated period. This is called Aqrabul Ayyam. The nearest days that everything was normal, look at those days. Common sense. Now, when we look at the nearest days, when the sun goes up to 15 to 18 degrees, that is around 1:30 or something like that. This is why you'll see some masjid, they have Isha time, Fajr time, Fajr beginning time as 1:30. Because the nearest days that we see on about 15th May, the sun goes, the sun when it's 18 degrees away from rising, it is approximately 1:30. So this is where that 1:30 comes from. So this is another opinion. Look at the closest days when things were normal. Another opinion. Aqrabul Bilad. Look at the nearest countries. The countries that lie on the same longitude, that have similar time zone, that are on similar time zone. Look at those countries where Isha Namaz and Fajr Salat takes place normally with vision. Emulate them. Take their example. Look at them when they are doing Isha and when they are doing Fajr. So in other words, find out those countries that are on the same longitude. So what countries are on the same longitude as Great Britain? Is it Morocco? I'm not sure. Is it Egypt? No.
I think it's Algeria.
All right. I'm not sure. At the moment, the geographical map is not in my, at the moment, in my head.
No, the time is all the same.
All right. Whatever. All right, okay. So this is another opinion. Aqrabul Bilad. Look at the nearest countries. Countries, nearest countries means doesn't necessarily mean nearest. It means nearest geographically, astronomically nearest. Not necessarily geographical, but astronomically nearest. This is second opinion. Third opinion is called something called opinion Nisful Layl. What does that mean, Ikram, Nisful Layl?
Something about the night.
What about the night? Ji, enjoy your sleep. Nisf, what does Nisf mean? Come on, you Hafiz, you should know. These people, they know it. Mufti Tariq. But he's Mufti, so of course, different story altogether. True. Half the night. And what does that opinion mean? It means calculate the hours from sunset to sunrise. Calculate the time between sunset to sunrise. Calculate how many hours they are. And then divide that into two. When that midpoint time finishes and the second half time starts, this is when Subh-e-Sadiq is counted, as though Subh-e-Sadiq has started. So in other words, Fajr beginning time has started from there. So for example, these days hour is of 7 hours, from 9:30 till 4:30, example. So hours is how many? 7 hours. 7 divided by 2. So each half is 3.5 hours. So half 9, half 10, half 11, half 12. 1 o'clock. That's 3.5 hours, isn't it? So once half the night is over, in other words, 1 o'clock in this particular example, Isha time finishes and Fajr time has started after 1 o'clock in this particular example. This is another opinion. They divide the night into two. The second half determines the beginning of Fajr. This is another fourth opinion. Maghrib will end until Isha beginning. Yeah, we're talking about Fajr beginning and Isha ending. Isha ending. Sunset to sunrise. Because you don't know Fajr beginning time. That's why we're doing all this, because we don't know the Fajr beginning. So we don't know Subh-e Sadiq. So it's sunset till sunrise, you calculate the hours. So what's the one opinion? What does that mean? Another opinion, Aymal? What does that mean? Closest days. Divided by 7. Good. Abbas? Mashallah. Mashallah. Yes.
Wouldn't that change the entrance from the end of Maghrib? These opinions?
No. Why Maghrib? Why does it change Maghrib? End of Maghrib, here we're not talking about beginning of Isha. I am talking about ending of Isha and beginning of Fajr. Right. Here I'm talking about the issue of Subh-e Sadiq now. I'm talking about the issue of Subh-e Sadiq. I'm not talking about the entry of Isha and the final time of Maghrib. I was talking about the final time of Isha. This is where I started, that beginning of Isha is when the white light or the red light disappears. When does it finish? This is the subject I was talking about. And I was saying there is complication when in some months, in some countries, there's going to be complication. But yes, that issue still is a problem. Final time of Isha is still a problem, or beginning time of Isha. Beginning time of Isha is still an issue in this country for us. All right. Let me talk on that subject now. That what is the final time of Maghrib and beginning time of Isha for those people who live in the Western Hemisphere and Isha is very late. Isha is 12 o'clock, silly hours, 1, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock. What do you do? You can use 1.7, 1/7 of the night here for Isha beginning. That's one opinion. There is another opinion with some liberal scholars. From the aid of scholarly opinion, they say go for combination. In other words, combine Maghrib and Isha. They say, they claim, I'm not endorsing the validity, please. Right, okay. Their opinion is, in the time of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there have been an occasion at least once, where Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam combined two salats when there was no rain, there was no fear, and there weren't any sort of extraordinary circumstances. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam combined the two prayer, Ibn Abbas reports. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu was asked, so why did he alayhi salam combine? So he said that just to free people from any inconvenience. So maybe at that time there was some sort of an inconvenient situation had arisen, under which Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam combined the two prayer. So now the scholars are saying that to wait until Isha namaz is problematic. Hence, let us apply that rule of Medina here and combine the two prayer, Maghrib and Isha. So this is one opinion, they say combine, and there are some who are combining. Imam Abu Hanifa, who generally opposes combination even in travel and in very extreme circumstances as well. Hanafis don't like this opinion at all of combination. And I don't like it either, of combining. Combination, no doubt, from authentic hadith is proven under extreme circumstances. Severe illness, where it's difficult to read salat in their own times, or extreme fear, extreme level of fear, or traveling. Otherwise, what is hardship and what is inconvenience? This is the way people's minds, they keep on changing in all different times. Some people even find it Fajr namaz inconvenient, waking up at Fajr, like today we've all proved that in our discussion, who reads and who doesn't read. So we won't look at what is really inconvenient. Maybe sometimes something are convenient in one time, but not inconvenient in other times. Now, in Saudi Arabia, where in hot countries, tropical countries, culturally we go to bed early after Isha. So to stay up until 11 o'clock and 12 o'clock is problematic. But here in the Western world, generally people are awake at 11 o'clock and they don't go to sleep even in winter before 11 o'clock. So it's not hardship. These days to stay up until 11 o'clock is not hardship, because people don't go to sleep until 11, half 11, 12. All throughout the year, even if they have already read Isha, they still don't go to sleep. So no combination, because there is no mashakkat, there is no hardship. This is the counter evidence of combination. And I feel like myself, that no, combination is not a good idea. Because even we'll read Isha and still we'll be watching TV after that. I thought it was a hardship. Why are you still awake for watching TV with the remote control in your hand? So there is no mashakkat here. Some say because the time is not visible, just make some little gap between Maghrib and Isha, half an hour, and just read. At least you've read the two salats separately and you have not combined. That's another opinion. Some say, no, don't just make silly 30 minutes. Make it a bit more, make it 1 hour. Some say, no, generally throughout the year, what is the distance between Maghrib and Isha? Maybe 1.5 hour. Keep 1.5 hour. It's not the end of the world. All these are scholarly different opinions. This is why there is such a big dilemma in the whole country and in other countries as well in the Western world. Because there are so many different opinions and no opinion is authentically can be endorsed that is the only correct opinion. Maksud, aapko kaun si raay achhi lagi? Combination ki. I think what it is, as a final, for people whom definitely to delay Isha until 11 and 11:30 is quite late and problematic, it may be permissible for them either to combine or to for them to read maybe after 45 minutes, 1 hour. Why? Because necessarily they have to go to sleep because they start early. It's not in their hands. The work is not in their hands. College and university is not in their hands. They have to wake up and do that. So for such people, maybe it is problematic and maybe they can, very elderly people who cannot stay awake until very late, to whom genuinely it's a problem, not man-made. Maybe they could look into combination. They could look into maybe keeping some distance and then reading it. For others, it is only a good practice to keep a fair, reasonable distance between the two, like we generally have throughout the year. Chalo.
Azan de do.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة تخلف البيعاد رضيت لله ربا وبالإسلام دينا بمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم نبيا ورسولا.